Inch by inch, row by row, gonna make this garden grow. All it takes is a rake and a hoe and a piece of fertile ground.
Hello, and welcome to the Garden Goddess Show on WDRT Radio, 91.9 FM, Viroqua, Wisconsin. This is Donna Smith, and I'm happy to be here with you for the next half hour to talk gardening. In today's show, we're going to talk about winter decorations for your porch and garden and take a look at some evergreens. On a recent trip to Montana, we traveled through the hilly plains and the badlands of North Dakota into Montana with its plains in the east and the Rocky Mountains to the west. Much of North Dakota and eastern Montana landscape is characterized by flat grasslands and badlands, while the Rocky Mountains of the west are covered in dense forest. When we went to Glacier National Park, I was awed by the plant life there. Pines and other evergreens taller than I had ever seen rose up to the sky. It was amazing. The evergreen forests of Douglas fir and lodgepole pine or cedar and hemlock are found throughout the park. The beauty of these trees was so inspiring. When I began to put together this next episode of Garden Goddess, I decided I wanted to concentrate this half hour on evergreens. So let's get started with a couple questions from the garden cart. If you have a question about something going on in your garden or want some help or advice, you can email me. If you're curious about a garden-related topic that you'd like me to cover in a future show, let me know that too. Send an email with questions or suggestions to gardening@wdrt.org, and I'll respond on a future show. When is the best time to plant evergreen trees? Well, early spring and early fall are the most ideal times to plant evergreens. Spring gives the plant cool, wet weather for root development before the heat of summer. In the fall, you also have cooler weather to allow the plant time to establish roots before the ground freezes. We have been very dry this fall, so in a year like this, you'd want to continue watering your newly planted plants until the ground freezes. When Mother Nature doesn't provide sufficient moisture, gardeners need to step in and supplement the water themselves. Fall planting would be about 6 weeks, give or take, before the first hard frost. So I'd say early mid-August to about mid-September would be ideal. In the spring, once you can dig easily in the soil and we've had a week or more above freezing, you should be able to begin planting. Preferably with evergreens, you'd want to get them planted before any new growth begins in the spring, so you'd probably want to be getting those plants in the ground sometime probably March and April. When planting in spring, the plants have an entire growing season to establish roots before winter. According to John Roush of Cottage Grove Nursery in West Salem, one of the number one problems he sees with evergreen plantings is improper watering. You want to soak the plants well, but be sure to monitor the soil around the tree so you're not drowning it by overwatering. A little goes a long way, says John. Dig in the soil around the plant to be sure the soil isn't overly saturated. You can let the soil dry out a bit between waterings. When and how do you prune evergreens? This is a great question. The best time to prune deciduous trees and shrubs is typically once they've dropped their leaves in the fall and you can see the branches, which makes pruning much easier. With evergreens like pines, spruces, arborvitae, or juniper, you don't have the luxury because they don't drop their foliage. So you have to prune these a bit differently. Prune dead and broken or diseased branches anytime you see them. Fall and winter are good times to prune out rubbing and crossing branches for the health of the plants. These branches can be then used in winter containers, which I'm going to talk about a little later in the show. To control size, a pine, for instance, is pruned by removing half of the new growth at the tips of the branches. These are called the candles. And once they begin to elongate in the spring, you'd remove half of that tip. Some evergreens, such as yews and select spruce species, can be sheared. Most evergreens, however, need little to no pruning. If you're needing to do a lot of pruning on an evergreen, chances are you may have a plant that it's just too large for your space. You may want to consider replacing it with a cultivar of one that is better suited to that spot in your landscape. For more pruning advice on evergreens, I'd refer back to one of my favorite pruning books that I mentioned last month, the American Horticulture Society Pruning and Training Manual by Brickell and Joyce. Another question that I get asked a lot is, what evergreen should I put into my yard? Many of them get so large that people don't often know how to choose the right one and don't know where to put them. We often think of them as screening plants to hide an unfavorable view, but they can be so much more. A well-placed evergreen can be a background plant to show off a nice flowering shrub, or it provides an anchor point in a bed to build the foundation of your garden. They can also be highlighted in the garden as a specimen plant, or placed in the foreground with other garden plants at the edge of a bed or over a rock wall. Straight species evergreens do get quite a bit larger than most landscapes can accommodate. Luckily, there are hundreds of cultivated varieties called cultivars to choose from to fit into just about any landscape. Spend time this winter looking at the evergreens in your yard or neighborhood. Go check them out in a park, garden center, or a local arboretum. Evergreens really shine in the winter months when nature forces their deciduous partners to drop their foliage, leaving bare branches exposed. This is when the evergreens are given the opportunity to steal the show. I love a beautiful pine or spruce covered in white after a snowfall. As John Roush told me, with evergreens in the garden, all winter there's something to see. You get a lot more entertainment out of them. When selecting an evergreen for the garden, follow the same guidelines you would use when selecting any other plant, knowing the growing conditions in the space you want to put this plant. What's the hardiness zone, the light conditions, the soil type, and the space allotted for the plant? When thinking about size, remember that this plant is going to grow, so be sure to consider mature size when placing it in your garden. What shape or form are you looking for in the plant? Do you want something upright, weeping, or spreading? If you like a plant that gets to be 40 feet tall and 25 feet wide and you only have space for about a 15-foot tree, then start looking at cultivars and you'll likely find a plant that will suit your needs. I'll share with you several evergreens that I like and hope you'll check out for your landscape. First is Black Hills Spruce, Picea glauca variety densata. This is a cultivar of the white spruce. It's a tough, drought-resistant, slow-growing tree that can withstand difficult growing conditions. Its habit tends to be very conical in shape and only reaches a height of around 20 to 40 feet. This is one of the trees that you could purchase for a live Christmas tree this year. Next is the concolor fir, Abies concolor. It has bluish-green colored foliage. The needles on the branches are long, narrow, and flattened, and then curve upward from the branch. It can be 30 to 50 feet tall, and there are a number of cultivars available offering dwarf and upright forms among them. Michael Durr considers this to be one of the best firs for the Midwest and Eastern U.S. It is more tolerant of city conditions than other fir species. I love the unique look of the foliage on this plant and the beautiful bluish-green color. Another favorite is the weeping white spruce, Picea glauca pendula. This cultivar of white spruce has a very narrow, upright form, showcasing the cascading branches that drape downward. Its soft needles are a beautiful blue-green color, which adds nice color and texture to the garden. The weeping white spruce gets to be about 20 to 30 feet tall and only 4 to 10 feet wide. I love this tree, and when I see it, it reminds me of those trees in the cartoon version of How the Grinch Stole Christmas. It does look so beautiful in the winter. This deserves a place in a landscape with limited space or for someone looking to highlight the unique form, smaller size, and narrow habit. Last but not least, I have a fondness for Canadian or Eastern hemlock, Tsuga canadensis. Is a very finely textured plant. It has a graceful pyramidal shape, and the branches droop with age. It has small cones, and the new spring growth is light yellow green, turning glossy dark green as they mature. This tree would grow in full sun and tolerates shade well. It prefers some protection from strong winds. There are lots of cultivars of Canadian hemlock, but the most notable is Sargentii, a broad-spreading weeping form that can grow 10 to 15 feet and twice as wide. This would make a beautiful specimen plant near a pond or water feature. I hope one of these plants has garnered your interest and you'll check them out this winter and next year at a garden center near you. On the bookshelf this month is my favorite book on woody plants called The Manual of Woody Landscape Plants by Michael Durr. If you like to geek out on information about trees and shrubs like I do sometimes, this book is for you. It has everything in it, including the kitchen sink. You'll find just about every woody plant that grows in the U.S. with information on culture, propagation, landscape value, and available cultivars of these plants. It also contains details on disease and insect threats, leaf color, flowers, texture, habit, and hardiness zone. It's a wonderful reference book that many landscapers, nurseries, and garden centers will have for reference on their bookshelves. It really is a wonderful resource, especially if you're looking for more in-depth information about a plant. Those interested in landscaping, horticulture, and landscape architecture will find this to be a really handy reference book and a must to check out. Another book I like to reference is called Further Along the Garden Path by Anne Lovejoy. She provides month-to-month gardening tips for the home gardener. Novice and intermediate gardeners will find helpful hints to improve their gardening expertise. This book is written in an easy-to-read style that's really inspirational. You'll want to go out and explore every inch of your garden. The beautiful photos remind me of a pretty coffee table book full of inspiration as well as information on its pages. In the tool shed this month, it's time to clean and repair tools before you put everything away for the winter. Now that most of your gardening tasks are completed, be sure to wash the dirt off the shovels and spades and give them a coat of oil to prevent rusting. They deserve a good sharpening after cleaning too, so they're ready to go in the spring. Shovels can be stored by hanging them up out of the way in the garage or shed. Clean, sterilize, and sharpen pruning tools as well, so they're ready to go anytime you want to get out and do some dormant pruning this winter and early spring. In the Patio Talk segment today, I'm going to share information that I got from three local business owners about holiday and winter decorating. You have a lot of options to decorate for the holidays. Our local shops have everything you may need to make your home feel special all winter long. Tiffany Cade of Deep Rooted Organics in Westby likes to decorate for the winter season so porch pots and wreaths can stay out until spring. She recommends a mixture of evergreen boughs, sticks such as red twig dogwood and curly willow, magnolia leaves, bittersweet, and twigs with berries and pods. She suggests using two or three varieties of evergreens, such as pine, spruce, and cedar. This gives your container additional interest with the different textures. Tiffany recommends using a plastic pot for the winter, or put a liner pot into your ceramic pots so that they don't crack over the winter. Use the soil from your summer and fall containers, putting it into the liner pots to create your winter display. The soil will freeze and hold your greens and twigs in place. Just be sure to keep it in a warm place so it doesn't freeze before you get a chance to build your pots. Tiffany also offered some advice to create some decorations outside for wildlife. You can make a bird-friendly tree or wreath using some items that the birds are sure to enjoy. Make cranberry, popcorn, and peanut garland. Smear pine cones with peanut butter and then roll in bird seed. And you can cut a variety of fruit and string it together or hang individually on a tree in your yard. String together fresh fruits such as apple, pear, orange chunks, raisins, and cranberries. This is a fun activity to do with kids, and then watch as the birds come flocking to your yard. For wreaths, Tiffany suggests also using clusters of dried fruit slices, such as orange, grapefruit, blood oranges, lemons, and limes. These add color, and the dried fruit slices will last throughout the winter. Deep Rooted has plenty of decorating supplies for you this year, and they also offer classes to create your own wreath or porch pot. Check out their website, deeprootedorganics.com, for more details on all their available products and workshops. And stop at Deep Rooted's booth at the Growers and Makers Holiday Markets at Little Bird Plants in Viroqua this year. I'll be there this coming Saturday, November 29th, and Tiffany will be there on December 20th. Next, I talked with the owner of Cottage Grove Nursery and Gift Shop in West Salem. John Rouge has been in business for almost 30 years and knows a few things about the holiday decorating season. At Cottage Grove, you'll find a variety of fresh-cut Christmas trees, wreaths, porch pots, and garland. They also carry bundles of evergreen boughs, spruce tops, and sticks for decorating your own containers and wreaths. For fresh-cut trees, John carries balsam and Fraser firs. I asked him why these two varieties. Both are popular with customers, he says. Balsams tend to be more fragrant, but will lose their needles a little bit faster than Fraser firs, which hold their needles longer. Frasers are nice, but don't have the fragrance appeal of the balsams. However, John says you can't go wrong with either one. Both will fill the air inside your home with the smell of Christmas. If you're putting your own container together, John recommends filling the pot with a lightweight soil mix and using 2 to 3 bundles of evergreen boughs depending on the size of your container. The spruce tops can be used singly or put in a cluster of them for a larger pot, then embellish with red twig, dogwoods, other sticks, and cones. I also asked John about the garland that they sell. These are sold in 25-foot lengths. The garland is made from cedar and Douglas fir. Depending on how much dip you want when you hang them will determine the total length that you'll need. You can measure out areas at home using rope or long extension cord to simulate the garland, so you can look and see what you want. Then measure the cord and you'll know how much you need. My suggestion would be to make note of what you buy and put it in with your holiday lights or decorations, so you'll have that reminder when you go to make your purchases next year. And then you don't have to measure each time, unless you decide to change up your decorating. My last question for John was what to do with your tree once the holiday is over. Some people in more rural areas will burn their Christmas trees, but please take caution in doing this as they will burn up very quickly. You can chop up your tree and add to your compost pile. You can also use the boughs to cover tender perennials in your garden after you remove it from the house. For more information on what you can purchase at John Rouge's Nursery, go to their website, cottagegrovenursery.com. My third interview was with Dave Tubin, owner of Second Nature at Reed's Creek in Reedstown. We discussed live Christmas trees. I asked Dave, why do people choose a live tree versus an already cut tree? Their intentions are good, he says. People hate to see something grown for many years and then a perfectly good tree gets cut down. So instead, we view the live tree as a way to add to the environment instead. There is some planning and work involved, as much or more than having a cut tree. But when your tree is out growing in your yard, there's a sense of satisfaction of what you've done. Well, that sounded pretty reasonable to me, so we discussed their current offerings of live potted trees. They carry two varieties that you can bring indoors. They have Norway spruce and Black Hills spruce trees this year. Both are strong and hardy and can take a little bit of abuse. The trees come in a large plastic pot. Dave suggests getting something like a shallow trough to put under the tree to catch the water. Watering will be very important when you bring it into the house and later after you move it to the garage or put it in the ground. Watering keeps the needles from losing their waxy surface. That coating protects the needles and keeps them from drying out from the warmer temperatures in your home or from the wind once the plant is back outside. Watering also lessens the shock of going from outside to inside and then back again. When the tree's inside, you'll probably need to give it water every day. The trough underneath will allow water to sit in there for the tree to soak up through its roots. You can keep the tree inside for a few weeks. Ideally, you'll want to get it planted sooner rather than later for the best chance of survival. Live Christmas trees are not guaranteed and have about a 50-50 chance of making it through the winter. Here are a few tips to help you have greater success of having your trees survive into the new year. First, pre-dig a hole for the tree now. You want the hole to be at least twice as wide as the pot it's in and only as deep as that pot. Don't dig deeper or loosen the soil at the bottom of the hole. This can cause the tree to sink into the hole, and a tree planted too deep is almost as detrimental as not watering it. You can cover your hole with straw to insulate the hole and to mark the spot. In case we get snow that covers it up, you want to be able to see where it is. And from a safety point of view, it also reminds you that there's a hole there. Place the soil from the hole into a wheelbarrow and put it into your garage, where hopefully it doesn't freeze solid and you'll have soil to put back around the tree. Get a few bags of mulch to have on hand as well, so you can mulch your tree once it's in the ground. This will help to insulate the root ball. Soon after Christmas, plant your tree and water regularly. You'll want to water once or twice a week, especially if we don't have much snow cover. Continue watering in spring. Monitor your plant through the summer as well. The hot, dry conditions next summer can continue to desiccate the needles. If you aren't ready to plant your plant right away, plan to move it into the garage. Be sure to continue to water every 4 or 5 days. The soil in the pot is rather sandy, so you need to keep up with regular waterings even in the garage. Putting in a live tree can be experimental and fun, says Dave. It's also a lot of work. Some trees make it, so that's a win. You've added another tree to the landscape, which is good for the environment. If your tree doesn't live, you can always try again next year. Second Nature has a full line of Christmas and holiday decorations. They also offer some workshops this season that you may also want to check out. Go to their website for a full list of what is being offered this season. Their website is secondnature@reedscreek.com. In the final segment of the show, let's check out the Garden Journal tasks for the coming month. Protect the bark of young trees from winter sun scald by wrapping the trunk with paper or burlap tree wrap. Remove the wrapping in spring. Give your multi-stemmed evergreens, such as arborvitae, junipers, and yews, some support from heavy snow or ice accumulation. Tying trunks or branches together loosely with strips of cloth or coated twine can hold them together and lessen the damage from being pulled apart by snow and ice. As with the trunk wrap, be sure to remove the cloth or twine in spring. After a wet snow, check garden plants, especially evergreens. The evergreens can be damaged if weighed down with heavy snow. Gently push the snow off branches to prevent breakage. If the snow is frozen, just leave it there and let it melt naturally. Take a look at evergreens in your yard and prune out rubbing or crossing branches as needed. Save branches that you can use for decorating winter containers. Cut and collect other items that remain in your yard, such as seed pods from iris or sumac, sedum, and coneflower. Seed heads and milkweed pods make great additions to your decorations. Pick up spruce and pine cones that can add winter interest to porch containers and wreaths. Prune your birch, maple, and walnut trees during the coldest days of winter. These trees tend to bleed, and if they're pruned when temperatures are warming, they will leak that sap, which can be messy and unsightly. It doesn't necessarily hurt the plant, but just makes a mess. Prune elm and oak trees anytime now through mid-April. The insects that potentially spread Dutch elm disease and oak wilt are dormant during winter and early spring. As a reminder, don't prune your spring flowering plants until after they flower, or you'll remove the flower buds for the coming spring display. Avoid the use of chemicals, sidewalk ice melters near your plants. Shovel snow away from the plants and try not to pile snow with ice melters in it into your garden beds. Where possible, shovel areas near plants and use sand for grit to tame slippery sidewalks. There are environmentally friendly products on the market containing magnesium chloride and calcium chloride. These tend to be a bit more plant and pet friendly if you need to seek those out. In the winter, however, remember the phrase safety first when it comes to snow removal and managing the ice this winter. Stay safe out there, friends. And don't forget our feathered friends. Add a motion device to bird baths to keep the water from freezing and giving birds a water source this winter. Well, that's our show for today. I'll leave you with a quote from Horticulture Magazine written by Thomas Cooper. A garden is never so good as it will be next year. Thanks so much for joining me today. I hope you enjoyed today's show and want to hear more of The Garden Goddess as well as other wonderful programs on WDRT. Our Season of Giving fundraiser is being held this year from November 24th through December 31st. Please consider a one-time donation or become a sustainer by setting up a monthly pledge. All donations, no matter the amount, are helpful for our community radio station. I hope you will join me in supporting WDRT. Just go to wdrt.org/donate to support Driftless Community Radio. Thanks for listening today. Until next time, have a wonderful day, friends. Let's go out and make our world a little more beautiful, one plant at a time.